Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 32 of the Depressed Breakfast Club. Today, we're going to be talking about being single and mental health. Before we go any further, as always, we're not medical professionals. Everything we say and do is our opinions and our opinions only. Stop sending hate mail. Sorry, I ripped on Catholicism last week. If you feel like you are in a low spot, go talk to your doctor. If you feel like you need medication, go talk to your doctor. If you're on medication and want to go off your medication, go talk to your doctor. Never stop taking your medication without consulting a physician. If you're feeling really down, Joy, I'll have some phone numbers for you.
Yep, so if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, Canada, you can call the suicide hotline at 1-833-456-4566, or you can text 45645. And in the U.S., you can call 988 or text TALK to 741-741. So please, if you're feeling suicidal or depressed or down and you need somebody to talk to, please reach out to these numbers or therapist, a friend, and on to Taylor.
Wow, that's what just completely forget about me. That's cool. So
that's
as
twice now.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm starting to get a complex over here. So as always, the general reminder that our email is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com. We do love to hear from you guys. And for this week's quote, I went with, walk away from people who put you down. Walk away from fights that will never be resolved. Walk away from trying to please people who will never see your worth. The more you walk away from things that poison your soul, the healthier you will be. And I personally think that that goes exceptionally well with this week's topic of being single, because it's trying to know your worth when you're in a relationship is so goddamn hard. And it is just a mental minefield that I swear builds up the longer that you're with someone. And it's something that, in my experience, you have to like undo every time that you become freshly single again. You have to start ripping back the layers and like uninstalling the minefield, where you're like, start wandering through. You're like, no, there was no trauma. You step on one, you're like, oh, oh, there is trauma from this. I didn't know. And it's not even necessarily from like, there were a fuck ton from my last relationship, like a truckload. But outside of that, like, there's still been ones like left over from other relationships and having to undo those. And obviously for me, I'm one of the single ones of our group, along with Peanut or Joyelle. And then we have Dana to be the blissfully wedded one who gets to answer the questions like, how did she know Norm was the one, for us single people to be like, what are we looking for again? Because I think I've forgotten along the way.
I think she's like our Obi-Wan.
Yes, she is. We are your Padawans. Teach us the ways. Did you kidnap him and just keep him there until he loved you? Like,
wouldn't I be more like Yoda?
You can be, both of them are masters.
Single you are.
Married we will get you.
I'm so happy right now. I see why Norm kept you. Kept you, Norm.
I thought she kept Norm.
I'm just giving him the benefit of the doubt. He was like, oh, she watched Star Wars, I'm gonna keep this one.
Yeah, we all know what happened when I watched Star Wars.
Hi, little Samantha. It was your good luck movie.
Chewbacca did it for her.
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
And in Wookiee's. Not even sleep deprived, drunk, stone, none of these things. Completely stone. Oh my god, with the Englishing. Completely sober, and we're having this much entertainment early on in the morning.
Well, you say you're sober, but.
I swear I am.
I swear I am.
I swear, Ossifer, I swears.
Do you want me to answer that question right now?
Yeah, sure. Let's start off with that one. Data's like, you want me to participate? Crap.
Shit. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, when we met and started, like, conversing.
Sounds so old school. Like, you two were sending pen pal letters. Dearest Norman, today I had a thought of you.
We really don't have a lot in common. He likes Bruce Springsteen. I can't stand the guy. I listen to heavy metal, liquid metal. Like, if you're a Sirius XM, my favorite station is like liquid metal. I read, he doesn't. I'm artsy, he's not. I can actually write my name and people know it's me. He can't. His penmanship is horrible. So we don't have a lot in common. And I think that's what makes us work so well. So the things that he likes to do were new discoveries for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that I like to do are new discoveries for him. He's also an only child. Technically an orphan now. He's lost both his parents.
Chipper.
So he loved hearing the stories of Darren and I and Derek growing up, and more so because my brother passed away when he was 17. So for Darren and I, like, going into adulthood and still being, like, friendly with each other, because a lot of siblings aren't.
Mm-hmm.
He loved hearing those stories of us growing up and the stupid things we did. So, so honestly, I think a good relationship is bound on being two different people.
Huh.
If you go for someone who likes everything that you like, you have nothing to discover. And I know somebody will say, but you could discover it together.
You don't push each other to.
You don't, because how do you know you need to discover it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And so for how I knew he was the one, it was just after 4 months of dating.
Damn! Jesus!
He proposed on Valentine's Day, but it was... I don't know how to... Like... Okay, so number one, we met online. When online dating was relatively new. So when I say we conversed, we exchanged emails. There was no cell phones back then, children. We weren't texting. We exchanged emails back and forth. And then when the time come that we wanted to meet each other, I invited him over for dinner and I made dinner. And it was pretty much after that, we were always together. And we were doing things, and like I would say to him, you know, it's a nice Saturday. Do you wanna go over to the Detroit Institute of Art and check out some art? And he's like, I've never been there. I'm like, oh, grab your passport, let's go. You know? So my dragging him, and yes, it was a dragging incident, to the Detroit Institute of Art, I was able to share with him my love of art, which he started realizing there's more to art than just Bloom County and Calvin and Hobbes. So, yeah, it was pretty much like probably within a month of dating, it was like, and even the people around us were like, you guys are going to end up getting married. So, yeah, you just know, there's no science behind it. There's no trying to figure out what you need to do. It just happens.
Well, goddamn. I mean, I'm literally sitting over here listening to Dana. She's talking about, like, no, I think all of my exes, like, we had a lot in common for all of us. And I'm now thinking, like, goddamn, I'm doing it wrong.
I mean, what works for me may not work for you, right?
This is true.
But what clearly. I'm saying is, in order to engage in conversation, you got to know a little bit, but not everything. So, like, Taylor, you like to play Dungeons and Dragons. You're very spiritual. You read certain books. So find somebody that doesn't necessarily follow the same interests as you, but kind of knows what they're talking about. And you'll see that your conversations, you'll have conversations that'll last hours without even realizing it. So, like, forgive me. How does that old saying go? Don't shit where you eat.
Oh, yes.
So, I guess when you're looking for love, look a little farther than the boundaries of what you like.
No, I think that's actually a really good... I think that entire piece is actually just a really good... I don't want to say tidbit, but like good informative... I'm going to say tidbit. A good informative tidbit, because I can't think of the word that I want to actually use. Just because it's a good way to look at it as broadening your horizons and understanding more. Like, I mean, you could probably learn more about yourself as you learn about the other person, too, along the way. Where it's, like you said, you can have hours upon hours of conversation and just be learning the entire time, but enjoying it.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it, Peanut? Have you just reassessed your entire dating history like I did?
No. Because, like, my dating history is atrocious.
As is mine.
I don't think other than my ex-husband, I don't think that I would have ever been in a true relationship. But you have to have, like Dina, like me and my ex-husband were opposites as well. Problem with my ex, besides being a narcissist, was that he truly had no interest in learning about me and about the things that I enjoy doing. He had no interest in trying them or anything, but he wanted me to do the things he liked, which I did. Like, I had never been fishing before, so like, he enjoyed fishing, so we would go fishing, and I actually liked it. I wouldn't actually touch the worm or the fish, but
she just held the pole.
I enjoyed catching them. But I mean, but he just flat out, there was no way he was gonna do or partake in anything that I enjoyed. So you have to have somebody that is interested, I guess, as well, or else it doesn't work, right?
I mean, that's the issue with a narcissist. That's the thing, is that, like, narcissists don't actually care about the stuff that you're into. It's all about, yeah, here, let me show you all my things. But like, no, we don't want to talk about yours. Yours suck.
But like, I didn't know when I met him, because he was kind and like he was romantic and he did things like he treated me good. He treated me like better. Well, I guess it's a low bar. He treated me.
Here's ground level. Here's where the bar was set.
It was like, it's a low bar to begin with. But he treated me, you know, better than anybody did. I didn't even realize he was a narcissist till, like, truthfully, after our divorce, a couple years after our divorce. But I don't know. I don't know why I married him, truthfully.
Because the bar was set so low.
I guess, like, I think I didn't, so the first time he told me he loved me, I didn't know what to do, because I didn't love him. I didn't love him.
That was your first mistake?
Yes, oh God. I liked him, but I didn't love
him. You weren't in love with him.
I was never in love with him, that's for sure. I did grow to love him.
But I was never in love with him.
So we all know, like, my issues with my growing up. And then I had in my ear, like, my dad and his wife. Oh, he treats you so good. And that's what you want. And he's this and he's that. And it was like, yeah, he does treat me good and all this. And so, you know, when he asked me to marry him, marriage was never anything I truly, really wanted. Mm-hmm. But I said yes. And even though I didn't get all weepy and cryy and excited. I just was like, yeah, okay, because we've been together 3 years now. So,
Jesus Christ, I guess.
So on we went to get married, and while we were planning it, because his family hated me, his mother especially. So she had called our house, and Oh, she didn't call our house. I lied. She called Jamie's cell phone because she never called our house because she might have to talk to me. So she called his cell phone, and I could hear her yelling at him on the phone to not marry me.
And oh, my God.
Yeah, and that she wasn't going to go to the wedding.
Good.
And that she wasn't going to allow his brother and sister to go to the wedding. And then, so I was, like, upset and crying. And that, and I had called my dad. And I think probably for the, maybe the first time in my life, he said, you don't have to do this. And I said, well, we already bought the dress and we already paid for the catering and all that. And he said it didn't matter. We didn't have, I didn't have to do it. But I did it to spite his mother. And I, so I married him. And it was the worst day of my life. Well, one of them. And I grew to love him. Not to be in love with him, but I felt like this was the life I chose. So.
So there's all these warning signs flying at Peanut, and she's got her shield up. Ding, ding, ding.
As you say, there's literally, instead of the verse of being, it's raining men, it's raining red flags. Are you watching? It's raining red flags. Jesus Christ.
But to that point in my life, I had never truly had a relationship. Yes. Like, I just slept with people. And I just had, like, I don't know. Fun. Like, the only, in my whole life, I've only been in love with one person. That was my 6-year debacle that I'm not quite sure what that was.
Yeah, no, that was I was going to say a booty call, but it was more so a blowjob call.
Yeah, it was me and the booty. And and then Jamie came along, and I don't care, I'll say his name because he's an ass. And
right then.
And then he came along and he treated me good and was till he didn't, till the I do, and then the switch flipped the switch.
And that's how narcissists operate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And mental abuse, even physical abuse. When you said your dad was like, but he treats you good, because that's how Jamie portrayed himself in front of your family.
Oh, for sure.
Your family never saw
what
happened when you shut the door to your house.
Yeah.
And that's what pisses me off about coming forward and saying, this person is mentally abusing me. And nobody believes you because they say, but he treats you so good. He bought you flowers last week. Yeah, he could have pushed me down the fucking stairs too and still bought me flowers. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think it's one of those things where physical abuse people can see because you have, like, we've all seen it where women or the partner, whoever it is, suddenly has like a black eye, like, oh, I fell into the door. Oh, I fell down the stairs. And their significant other's like, oh, yeah, you need to be less clumsy, don't you? And it's something that everyone can see. So they're more likely to step forward and be like, hey, leave that asshole. You can stay at my place. I'll help you get out of the bad situation. But when it comes to anything mental health wise, people, I find, tend to like brush it under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're just like, oh, well, it can't really be that bad. You're fine. You're just imagining things. It's okay.
Yeah. You're blowing it out of proportion.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking hate when people say that to me. Don't tell me how I'm feeling.
Yes.
don't tell me that my feelings aren't valid enough for you to say what you just said.
That was a big thing in our relationship. That was a big, he would say that a lot. A lot was like, I wasn't allowed me, but really, like, I couldn't, if I was angry about something, mm-hmm. like we had went, say we had been at my dad's and he said something or did something that angered me. And, you know, you go home and just in general conversation, you might, like, you would say, oh, my dad really pissed me off today when he said whatever or that. Like, that was something, like, we didn't talk because he wouldn't talk and he didn't want to hear anything negative
about, like, himself.
He wanted just to believe that if we didn't talk about it, it didn't happen. I don't know. Like, he just, there was never any real conversations because he never would partake in anything. I don't feel like I had a partner. Like,
mm-hmm.
it would just be, people get, you know, you have a bad day and you come home and you vent, and I couldn't vent.
Yes.
Because he didn't want to hear anything negative, because my venting would just put me in a bad mood, he said. Or talking about it would just, so it's like, let's pretend it didn't happen, I guess, was the thing. But I don't know. I'm a douchebag magnet.
What a superpower to have.
I guess I've been my whole life if I look at it. So.
And what about you, Taylor?
For being a douchebag magnet?
No.
It was right there. Oh. Well, I mean, I haven't exactly picked the best relationships to be in any of them. Like, I look back through it, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I went different for most of them. None of my my exes really have, like, I've talked about it with other friends, even my mom, or I'm like, when you look at all of my exes, they all look different, they all sound different, they all have differences. I don't really have a type. It's just person.
Women, though, would be a type.
Well, for me, it's one of those things of, if I met a guy and he filled all of the boxes. Dana's like, why am I friends with her?
Guys tend to fill boxes.
Then I would honestly date him. Like, I don't.
Oh my god, I'd shit myself.
What the fuck? Tina has so many regrets right now.
Oh my god.
Why would you shit yourself?
I don't know. Whenever I think of you in a penis, I like.
How often are, like, you thinking of me with a penis, Peanut?
Well, I just think of you, like, just like, ew. Like, you got a pair of chopsticks out or something.
Oh, shit, there's a fire starting. Ah, bush fire.
Chopsticks, of all things.
That's what I want to know. It's like, why is it chopsticks? But, okay. Oh my god, this is amazing already.
Apparently, but, you eat a lot of Chinese takeout.
I do save the chopsticks because I don't tend to use them. So maybe that's what I'm saving them for. And maybe. I didn't even know it. So, yes, theoretically, if I ever met, it could be a man, could be a woman, trans woman, any of those things, any of the above, I would, so long as they were a good person, they interested me and I was attracted to them, then yeah, I'd go for it.
So, may I ask you?
You can ask whatever you want.
Would you consider yourself pansexual?
I was just thinking that.
So, I still classify myself as lesbian just because it's all theory-based for me, for the man right. thing. Like, I've played with a penis. It didn't really thrill me. It's like, oh, it vomited on me. That's gross.
I've played with one, too.
You've played with a lot more than one, Peanut, we know. So, for me, it's just more of a, like, in theory, I mean, I would do anything and everything in my power to be of good service to Henry Cavill or Ian Somerhalder. Those two, I would go for the team. I would. You know what? You guys don't have to suffer through this. I have got it. Don't you worry. Just like Pedro Pascal, you're more than willing to take that one for the team, aren't you, Dana?
I am.
You know, I had my best friend who passed away. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, she was a hoe. But she was awesome. But she was. Like, I love her to death. I loved her to death.
You loved her to death.
And beyond. And she was just, like, and had an awesome personality and stuff. But she liked men a lot. But let me, like, she would get the nicest guys, and she would just treat them like complete shit, like cheating on them, the way she talked to them. Damn. like you name it, like she treated them like garbage, and boy did they want her more. Mm-hmm. And I'm over here a nice girl and I'm attracting all the fucking douches.
I swear to God, it's like a law of attraction, because when I think about my exes, the two who have slept around the most and have gotten with others the most are the two biggest narcissists and the two biggest assholes. Meanwhile, the other ones who have been, again, not great choices, but of the bunches, they weren't as bad, and they don't go sleeping around with anyone. They don't They don't treat everyone as trash. And it's just like I swear to God, the worse you treat people, the more they're like, oh, here, let me come to you. And you're like, oh, okay. But if you treat them decently, then you're like, oh, wow, that's just boring. It's like, yes, how dare I treat you like a human being?
So in my younger years, I feel like being single or having bad relationships, I think, like, at the time, I don't feel that, like, you think it's affecting you. But I mean, like, there were so many times when I would be like, what's wrong with me? That, like, she's over here treating them like garbage, and I'm, you know, what's wrong with me? Why don't you like me? Why am I not good enough? But, you know, I think being young, you shrug it off, but it does mentally, like, stack up and affect you mentally, your self-worth, your self-esteem.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
And now, like, so after my divorce, I just, for the first few years, it was like single, like forget it. Like there wasn't even a thought in my mind that I was going to date anybody. But now it's like it's been a while, and I still don't want to date anybody. Like I do, but I don't. Because how do you trust somebody again? First off. Second, oh, it just seems like a lot of work now at my age. but a lot of work, a lot of effort. But then being single, on the other hand, also still plays in my mental health. Because it's like, why am I alone? Why doesn't anybody love me? What's wrong with me? Why am I not good enough?
It's like both ends of the bridge are on fire and you're standing in the middle of it.
Yeah.
That's a good way. Yeah, that's a good way to talk it, to phrase it. For me, it's one of those things of with being single. Like anytime that I first go through the breakup, it's that immediately that feeling of not being good enough, like what the hell did I do, blah, 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 all that fun stuff. Unless I've gotten to the point where I'm like, oh no, I'm ready for the breakup. And it's, I have to get my mom to nicely write up the breakup phrasing instead of me saying, hey, here, item one, item two, item three, goodbye.
Here's your hat. What's your hurry?
So
I just sneak out in the night.
Dana's face just, that was fucking fantastic.
Oh my god, Peanut.
I'm not kidding, because it's true. And two, because like I honestly, my ex-husband would honestly be the only actual relationship I ever ever truly had. Except for my, actually, I shouldn't say that, because, like, when I was 14, my first boyfriend, that was a relationship. Like, we were together a year before he tried to, you know. So, I guess that was a relationship.
Yeah, that would have been.
And it was, it wasn't a good one either.
Nope. You started young with the bad ones right away. You're like, I'm gonna do this bad right from the get-go. Yeah. But I had something to say, and it's now completely left, and it was going to build on one of your points. And
fuck. I'll tell you right now, at 14, that first relationship was, that was the one that molded me.
Oh, 100%. Like, that's your, those are your formative years of basically deciding whether or not, like, these are the kind of relationships that I'm going to go with going forward. And then you sit there and you're like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, so
I chose bad.
Yeah, so him trying to rape me formed my relate what I thought of relationships and love.
Yeah. Oh, I remember what I was going to say about the being single. Now I came back. Anyone who listens to this and knows me is just like, yep, this is how her brain works. But for me, it's one of those things of going to therapy is honestly what helps with the being able to trust again, because that was honestly one of the first things, I know I've said it before, it was one of the first things that I said to my therapist when I was with her. It was like, yeah, I know that I can't go into a relationship anytime in the near future because I will bring all of that baggage from my last ex forward. And I knew right away, it's like, that's not fair to everyone going forward, because it's not everyone can be painted with the same brush. Not everyone's going to be a narcissist. Not everyone's going to be a cheater. Not everyone's going to be a liar.
Right.
So I knew that I was,
Find them.
No, this is what your therapist is going to tell you. No, you're not going to find them. But I knew that I had to work on that. I had to work on myself before I could even consider that. Like, I'm just now, I'm basically at the 1 year mark of therapy. And I've now just entered into the point where I'm like, you know what, now I would be ready to go back into the dating world and find someone and have relationships, all that kind of stuff. But it's taken me a fucking year and a half before I've gotten to that point.
I'm so sorry. You're like a year and a half. I think I'm going on 7 years.
Yes, but yours was, you're extremely jaded and haven't gone through, like, mine was intensive therapy for the past year working on that to be like, okay, I need to be able to trust again. Fix me. Let's do the work.
So
yes, Dana, I see you raising your hand. Of course.
So, Taylor, you're saying you're ready to jump back into the dating pool, put yourself out there type thing. When Norm and I were dating, one of the things that I didn't let happen was becoming stuck. I didn't forget the people around me. Yeah. I didn't forget my friends and my family. And if I made plans, I'd tell them, oh yeah, I'd like to go out Saturday night, but you know what? I'm hanging with Anne. Sorry, catch Sunday type thing.
Yeah.
And I find that a lot of people, when they're dating, tend to forget that there's life outside of that other individual.
Yes, 1,000,000%.
I've seen it. I have a friend that has done it. And the funny thing was, we didn't even know she was dating until they were like almost a year into the relationship.
Holy crap.
Because it was all about him. So, you know, suddenly you stop seeing somebody. Like, Taylor, if you were to meet somebody and then suddenly our podcast turned out to be just Troy L and I because you were like, oh, I can't leave so-and-so, you know. I would be very angry.
I would expect nothing less. You know where I live. I would expect nothing less for you to hobble your ass over here and be like, listen, bitch.
So, yeah, you know, it's even when you're dating and you're new into a relationship, you still have to find time. A part time.
Yes.
I'm not going to say absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's so cliche-ish. It's not about your heart growing fonder. It's you still being an individual, still being you. Has nothing to do with liking the person more because they're not around.
Well, I think it's one of those, that's one of those hard balancing acts. Excuse me. To try and do, just because I know I've been guilty about it with basically every relationship. And I'm sure that it's partially because for me, all of mine have been on, well, that's okay. All but one have been from online dating. Interesting little tidbit. I can't remember if I've ever shared or not. Of my relationships, only one has actually been local. All the rest have been from other countries completely. Australia, America. So when you're online with a person, you kind of have like, you have that draw towards always wanting to talk to them because you can't spend time with them, which is like a double-edged sword there where it's like, okay, you want to spend time with them because you can't physically spend time with them, but then it takes you away from the real world. So I'm severely hoping that with any future relationships, I've gotten better, like with being able to balance that and spend more time with friends and obviously, like, for the example with the podcast now, where it's like, nope, I have a standing appointment every Saturday or Sunday, whichever day we do it on, where we have our podcast every week. And we go out for breakfasts at least once a month. All that kind of stuff, where it's like, okay, yeah, nope, got to make sure that you keep up those things, because it's, if you go through a breakup, your friends are the ones that are going to be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, we all hope that, no, you don't want to go through a breakup, but you still have to have your friendships and all that stuff. And I try, it's one of those things that I try and tell my friends. Like, I have one of my friends who's newer to the dating world. Like, she didn't start dating until way later in life and has only really had, this is her second relationship. And her and I have talked about it, where it's like, okay, I encourage her. I'm like, okay, make sure you make time for your friends. Like, not just me, like your other friends, obviously. I'm not just being one side where it's like, hey, bestie, fucking make time for me.
Taylor,
like,
pat herself on the back.
You fucking make time for me. Don't you ignore me. But doing that, where it's like, okay, don't do the mistakes that we've all done. Where it's like, oh yeah, you fall in love, you're happy with that person. That becomes your entire little world. And you're like, no, it's a dumb mistake. Don't do it. Trust me, it's not worth it, because the friends are going to be sitting there. You're going to have to slink back and go, hi, guys. So about where I've been. Sorry, yep. I love you.
And if you do that while you're dating and that relationship leads to marriage, you have to continue doing mm-hmm. that. You still have to have girls' weekend.
Yes.
Me time. So my kids are grown now. My daughter's 25. My son's 21. But when our kids were little, we did family things.
Mm-hmm.
When our kids got old enough to turn on the stove and cook without burning each other, my poor son. Surprised you see he eats macaroni and cheese to this day, to be honest with you. He had a second degree burn on his hand from boiling hot water.
Oh,
they cooked Kraft dinner while I was at work. I was sitting in the cafeteria when our shift supervisor walked over to me and went, "Phone's for you."
Oof.
And I'm listening, and she was doing the "Go now, go now." So. After they got old enough that they were teenagers, they could stay home alone, they knew how to call for pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Norm and I started doing things together mm-hmm. with other couples. Now my kids are both adults. And there's sometimes that I don't want to hang out with Norm.
What?
It's not a bad thing. But
does Norm know?
He knows. So, like, he'll say to me, "Hey, Randy called, and there's a new craft brewery that opened up, blah, blah, blah. We want to go check it out. Bye." Go now. Because what am I going to do? I'm going to possibly turn on Bohemian Rhapsody and cross stitch for the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Or cuddle up on the couch with a big cup of tea and read a book. Get out my sketchbook and my pencil. And see, these are things I don't do when he's around. Because we're always conversing, we're always talking, or we're watching TV together. But when he's gone, I have my me time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's times, like our breakfasts, I'll say to him, "Hey, going out for breakfast with girls." He'll be like, "Okay, bye." Usually, and you guys know, I get a text halfway through breakfast, "Mom, can you bring me home?"
Yes. Yes, you do.
I fail to see any breakfast that hasn't happened. So, you still have to have that disconnect at times.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, too, that it... like, I've always been a big proponent of where it's like, okay, yeah, you know what? At some point in time, you always have to vent about your significant other. And you sure as shit can't vent about your significant other to your significant other when you don't want to start a fight. Because there's there's always going to be things where you're just like, Norm was snoring up a storm last night. I wanted to fucking kill him. And you may not want to poke that bear for whatever reason that day. So you complain to your friends. So that way you get it out of your head and you don't suddenly snap and put a pillow over his face.
So there was an incident where my husband was on his back and snoring and he kept me up like half the night. And I told the girls about it. I'm like, literally, I could have killed him that night. So after like a week or two, I told Norm about it, having that conversation with Taylor and Joyelle. And we chuckled about it. And he apologized, right? He's like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, don't be sorry. Like, you couldn't help it. You're in a dead sleep. And you snore. It's not the end of the world, right? Oh, let's roll back 2 weeks here, and Norm says to me every morning, did I snore last night? I'll be like, I didn't really hear you, and you may have had a every now and then, but nothing like loud like that one night. Okay, good. I bought a new pillow, supposed to help me not snore. Okay. Timu is my husband's best friend.
Sponsor us.
A couple days later, I'm making a coffee, and he's like, hey, did I snore last night? I'll be like, you know what? I didn't hear you. Keep in mind, people, I get up 2 to 3 times in the night. I'll be like, I didn't hear you. He's like, good. So the other night, we're lying in bed, and he's like, let me know if I snore tonight. I'm like, what is your fascination with snoring? Like, I literally one time said I'm going to kill you. And he was like, I bought this device. I'm like, what now? He goes, yeah. He goes, it loops on in your ears, and it goes under your chin. And it's like a strap.
Oh, yes.
And if you start snoring, it zaps you. I'm like, oh my God, you do not have to wear a shock collar.
Oh my God. IT.
So we had this discussion at the table while eating pizza. My daughter, her boyfriend, my son, their friend from South Africa. It's like everybody's at the table. And he goes, it's not that big of a shock. It's like a little zap. And all it does is makes you like kind of jerk your head a little. Mm-hmm. And that flap at the back of your throat moves. And mm-hmm. therefore you stop producing noise. Still.
So, you have shock collar trained your husband.
I wonder if you got up really close to it. Well, he had it on, and you snored, made a snoring sound if it would zap him.
Peanut's just evil. She's like,
I mean, I snore. I don't know if I snore as loud as I once did. I had my deviated septum fixed because I couldn't breathe out of one nostril. I still can't, but that's a different story. So I still snore, but I don't know if I snore as bad as I did. But I also sleep with a wedge pillow on my side. So
yep.
I think if I was on my back flat, I'd probably sound like one of those boats on the water. Yeah, or the hot rod down the street. So, yeah. But yeah, ladies, don't let your husbands buy shock collars if you complain about their snoring.
I didn't even know that the shock collars thing, like, I know there's the one for, like, the thumb that's supposed to, like, either, like, just buzz when you snore, and then, like, it just kind of disrupts your sleep, so then you wake up enough to stop snoring. But I hadn't heard about the shock collar version of it. Like, that seems extreme.
You know,
I'll never snore again. I'm sorry.
I just want to find somebody that cares enough about me to do that.
Right? Like, yeah. Jesus Christ, I don't even think I'm asking that much. I'm like, okay, yeah, just be happy to, like, cuddle. That's how low my bar is set. I'm like, okay, let's be happy to cuddle and make out. Those are my two things. There we go.
Yeah, you're right, Joyelle. And I've said it before. I feel like I won the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
I got one of the good ones. I got the one that every woman or man strives to have in their relationship.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful feeling. And I don't want people to be jealous of my marriage.
Too late.
So Norm and I have been married. It'll be 22 years next month.
God damn.
And I can count on one hand the number of fights we've had. I mean, not little, I can't believe you loaded the dishwasher this way, you know? But I mean
throwdown fights.
Fights where we didn't speak. And I think it's like maybe two or three.
Damn. That's a pretty fucking good track record.
And I'll retract my statement. I think I'll include the 3.5 years of dating before we got married. We had a very long engagement. We had a child.
Child out of wedlock.
Sinner.
So, and I don't know what the reasoning is. I'm not going to say that it's either of us are compliant or complacent with what the other one's doing. It's just, if there's a situation, we talk about it. It's conversation based. It's not, I'm not an angry person to begin with. Though I can't figure out why, because I am half Scottish. But I believe that my Hungarian side, I have more of my dad's Hungarian at ease way of life. Yes. My dad was like the simplest person. Seriously, like, I love your mom, but you used to yell at dad and he'd sit there and look at you. He never argued back with her.
Mm-hmm.
He just let her rant. And, okay, Linda. You know, he'd walk away. I don't remember my parents ever getting into screaming matches. I remember my mom yelling at my dad, but mm-hmm. I don't remember my dad yelling back. And that's me. Norm can yell at me and I won't yell back. I'll just look at him and I don't know, maybe it's the look on my face. And he'll be like, I'm so sorry I raised my voice. I yelled at my kids. Maybe I took it all out on them.
You're like, I'm passing this down.
Sometimes they deserved it. Like, oh, guaranteed. Like the one day Sam came home from school. She was in grade 2, grade 3. And she walks in the door. She's all like, ha, 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 ha. And I'm like, where's your brother? She had forgot about school.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I kind of had a very loud conversation with her as we drove to the school to get my son.
I can't imagine why he was traumatized. I can't go to school anymore.
No, he did. He went to the office and he's like, my sister forgot me.
Oh, God.
God bless the people, Mrs. Charbonneau and Mrs. Funkenhauser at LaSalle Public, because they call me Dana. Brendan's in the office. So, yeah, I think for me, it's that. if you keep an open line of communication, you're not going to have mm-hmm. those arguments.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, I do, honestly, I do. I have the best marriage ever. I see like the end of my life being hopefully after Norm dies. He is a little bit older.
I like that quick save. He is older.
You know, because I think I can live without him, but I don't think he can live without me.
So, I totally understand that. We'll plus, you have us first. To keep alive.
You know, unless it's a car accident, we both go together. So, yeah. Okay, we'll stop talking about that now.
You're like, let's not bring that into the universe. I'm not ready to die yet, just saying.
We've got lots of time. Both of us have longevity in our lives. Norm's grandmother passed away 14 days before her 100th birthday.
God damn.
My dad's mom was in her 90s when she passed away. So I got longevity on my side.
You're like, I'm going to make it.
And so
I'm
going to be old. So, yeah.
Yeah, you're definitely, yours is the marriage that I hope to find. Like, if I'm ever going to get married, it's something like that. Where my significant other is going to wear a shock collar. Because they're like, I love you so much, I don't want to sort. Just see them spazzing in the bed. What are you doing over there?
No, he said it's not a big jolt. It's just enough to, like, make you jerk a little, I think. Yeah, he said it's not strong.
You'll have to try it one of the days just to see how it feels, and then you'll be able to sit there and go, Norm, what are you thinking?
But like you said, Joyelle, it's an amazing feeling to have somebody care that much about you,
yeah.
That they're willing to wear this chin strap. That electrocutes when they snore.
And you didn't even ask. Like,
I didn't,
you know what I mean?
Just didn't.
Yeah, like that's what I mean, that he just like thinks that much of you and loves you that
mm-hmm. And it just, I mean, it goes to show that those people are out there. Joyelle and I just can't find them because we pick shittily. And apparently we shouldn't be allowed to pick for ourselves.
Oh, no, I haven't picked for myself.
To be fair, we know from you telling us that you have gone for the wrong one. The one that you should have gone for was that guy who was head over heels for you and was a super nice guy and everything. And you're like, no, not him. I'm going to go
yeah.
for the bad one.
It's like, the guy wasn't attracted to you.
Not today.
Not today. I was going to say Satan, but in this case it was not today, Jesus.
Yeah,
like, I don't even know.
Here's the thing. I, when it comes to that, friendship and that, I knew enough that I was, that, like, he was this awesome guy, but I knew I was just damaged enough that I would have hurt him.
I'd say yes,
like,
and no.
Like you would have broke his heart?
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you don't truly know what you would have done. Just because, I mean, you think about it, like you just told us. Well, obviously you told all the listeners too. that you purposely went into a relationship. You didn't even love Jamie. You weren't in love with him at any point in time. You didn't actually want to be with him, but still chose to go with him. So it kind of shows how fucked up mental health can really be. Where yeah. you will choose something that you know doesn't make you happy over something that could have made you happy because you had the thought of, well, I'm pretty sure I would have fucked it up and messed things up with him. Realistically, you could have gone with him. You could have fallen head over heels in love with him within a matter of days, weeks, months, who knows, had an extremely happy life. and worked through things together. He could have been your Norm. He could have been there and been like, hey, sweetie, let's get you into therapy. I've got this. We will figure everything out. Don't listen to your dad. He's a douchebag. Yeah,
there was no attraction.
You could, you weren't in love with Jamie.
I wasn't, but there was an attraction, though. Like, at first.
It's, well, yeah, but like I said, it's still one of those things of, it shows.
I mean, you have your to mental... have somewhat of an attraction to somebody.
There's been plenty of relationships that haven't had any. They go into it because they're like, all right, it makes sense. They've gone into it. I mean, look at even arranged marriages. People don't know diddly squat about it.
At 14 and 15 years old, I wasn't as jaded and was still wanted the romance, still believed in love and butterflies in your tummy and
Let's think that at 14 you weren't looking for marriage.
I was just gonna say, I would really hope not. But she might have been. Then again, you know what, there's so many girls, I can think of so many girls that I went to like grade school and high school with that had that stupid little marriage box. They're like, oh,
he was older than me, which wasn't a didn't bother me because my 6-year debacle, he was older than me as well. But
I don't do my age or younger. I only ever do older.
I always say this. So Norm's only 5 years older than me. But this is what I tell the kids. Your father was at university when I was in grade 8.
Oh my God.
And it seems like a lifetime in between us. But really, it's only 5 years.
So that, you know, that's one of those weird phenomenons that always makes me laugh, because when you're younger, it seems like, I can remember it was such a big thing when you'd be like, oh my God, Betty and David are dating, and Betty's in grade 9, David's in grade 12. Ooh. And you're like, that is not a huge age gap. Like, I have had 12 or 14 years between me and my partner at any given time. Yeah. I'm like, That is absolutely nothing. And yet when you're younger, you're like, oh my God, there's 2 months between us. You're like, okay, calm down.
My dad was 10 and a half years older than my mom.
Really?
Yep. Huh. My dad was born in 1936 and my mom was born in 46.
Huh. See, we learned something new. See, we all prefer older.
My husband was younger.
See, that was the problem. You went younger.
I went younger. You're a cougar. I felt cougarish in my one relationship when I was 24. I had a summer fling with an 18-year-old.
That girl.
You go, girl.
I deflowered him.
Oh my God. The dramatic pause. Oh my God. That has to be. You cannot take out that. You can't edit out that pause because that was so perfectly done. And just the change. Joy
plucking his petals.
Oh my God, that was fun. That was fucking fantastic.
Wow.
I swear to God, I wish that you guys would have known me before I even met my husband. Because I was like a different person. And I was fun. And I wasn't depressed. And crazy.
I kind of like the person you are now, because you are still fun.
I was gonna say that moment where you're like, we still love you as you are. We just want the best for you.
I know now, it's hard to see through the haze of depression and anxiety.
Dana and I are sitting on the other side, like, hello, big summer blowout.
When I first met my husband, he oh God, he called all the time and he would come over all the time. And I was like, okay, listen, I'm like, you can only see me on Thursdays.
See you next Thursday.
Because I was like, it was so much. It was just way too much in my face. I was like.
You ladies have Netflix?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, listeners out there, if you have Netflix, if you haven't already, watch Love is Blind.
I've heard of it, but have not watched it.
I don't think I've watched it.
It is phenomenal, where people are in like little pods,
mm-hmm.
and they go from pod to pod talking to each person, and then they find somebody that they connect with, and they continue their conversations in the pods to the point where one proposes, and then they go to Mexico where they finally meet and they spend a week together. Then they go back to whatever city they're from and they have 1 month to get married. It's a social experiment. So it's Love is Blind. Can a marriage with two people who never saw each other before the proposal, can they have a happy relationship going forward? And it's really, really interesting. I think there's like 3 or 4 seasons of it. But yeah, just watch it. It puts a lot of things into perspective on how people portray themselves when they're not mm-hmm. seen. And what happens when they're back in the real world? It may help you single people. weed out the, the weirdos, if you will.
I'm still debating whether I want to be single or not.
I'm not going to lie. It was like family viewing in my house. Norm, Samantha, and I were all like, is there a new episode? I mean, we got invested. And I think Sam at one time, maybe it was during season 2, had asked me if Norm and I had met that way, would it have worked out? And both Norm and I were like, yeah, probably, because it kind of did start that way.
I was just going to say, I think she forgets again that there were no cell phones back then, so it was lettering to each other.
It was email, not letters. Email.
Back in the 1800s.
And Norm's from Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. So there would be weekends where he would say to me, like on a Thursday night, he'd say, I'm taking off after work Friday, because he worked in the U.S. I'm taking off after work on Friday, and I'm going up to the Sioux to see my parents. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, okay. See you when you get back, you know. So that was kind of like his time away from me doing his thing, hanging out with his friends type thing, you know.
So. You know, that's actually one of the things that it just struck me now as you said that about the family. That is honestly one of my, I'd say, sticking points with dating in general, is the weird jealousy people get towards family. Like, my mom and I are super close. We've always been super close. We're always going to be super close. It's her and me against the world kind of thing. And it's weird to me when people get jealous, like your significant other gets jealous of a familial relationship, where, like, even for my mom, one of the things that got in the way with dating was the fact that when I was younger, obviously, she was a mother first and then like a single woman second kind of thing. And the guy should be like, oh yeah, that's so awesome. You're so close with your daughter. That's fantastic. But then when she'd say things like, hey, I have to get home and go feed my kid, they're like, well, can't she just feed herself? Well, she's like 11. So, you know, I'd kind of like to feed her something healthy other than just KD tonight because, you know, I can. And they would get mad about it. They would be legitimately mad about the fact that she would have to come home and care for the child that she birthed from her loins. And it's such a weird thing to me because for me, I'm not close with my family. It's a fairly well-known fact. The only one I'm close with is my mom. And I'm grateful for that. And then you have people who are close with their entire families. And I find that fascinating. Like, I encourage it. If someone tells me, oh, yeah, if I'm dating someone, they're like, yeah, you know, I'm getting together with the family this weekend. Are you going to be mad? I'm like, why would I be mad? Go spend time with your family. Like, you don't know how long your mom's going to be here for. You actually like your father. Go spend time with him. That's phenomenal to me. Go do the things with your family. Make the memories. I'm still going to be here. I'm not going to be mad at the fact that you're like, oh, you chose your family over me. Like, no, your family was there. You actually love them and want to spend time with them. Go do it. I'm not going to be jealous of that fact.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a stickler too. I was never jealous of Norm's family, and he was never jealous of mine. Like, Darren and I still did things when Norm and I were dating. And I'd be like, I'm hanging with my brother. And he'd be like, okay. Never mind the fact that Darren and I live together. So, yeah.
And to me, that's how it should be. Like, there shouldn't be some sort of weird competition between, well, you've got to pick me or your family. It's like, that is a weird comparison. Two yeah. very different things are happening in these relationships. Why am I having to pick between the two?
Exactly. Exactly. So let's wrap up on my perfect marriage.
Yeah, the episode dedicated to Peanut and I going, God damn, we suck.
So go ahead, Taylor.
So as always, you can email us at depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. We do love to hear from you. You can also follow us on Facebook under the same name. We post the weekly episodes on there, and we can obviously interact very easily with you guys on there, so we love to do that. You can also find our episodes posted on Dana's Twitter, which her handle...
Hold up now. Oh,
wait.
It's not Twitter anymore. It's X.
What?
So Elon Musk changed the name. It's X. So you can find our podcast on X.
Yeah.
Peanut and I are just like, the fuck. Okay, you can find her on X, which used to be Twitter. I'm assuming your handle is still the same, the Scooby?
Yes.
Okay, SKOOBI. Is that one the 70?
71.
71, okay. That one's the 71. Or you can find it on her TikTok. That hasn't changed, right? That's still called TikTok?
Still TikTok.
Okay, good. I might have missed something. And again, her handle on that is Scooby, SKOOBI. And you can also find the episodes posted on my own Instagram under Goddess TayTay25. And as always, what's something that you're either grateful for or love about yourself, Dana? I love how quiet you both are. Like, this isn't asked of you every week.
I know. You ask it every week, and I struggle every week.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I guess I what I love about myself is how I can turn the other cheek. Somebody has treated me badly, but still talks to me, and I can still be civil with them without throwing shit in their face. I like that about me. I like that. It's not a, I've forgiven you or I've forgotten what you did.
Mm-hmm.
It's just me growing as a person and not being that once bitter self. I'm more in tune to being kind.
Yeah.
That's
a good one. And Peanut?
So I don't know if this is like a like of about me or whatever, but I'm going to say right now that I'm like proud of myself a little bit that I actually have started being a therapist.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeah! Go Peanut!
I just had a meet and greet, so we haven't had anything at a session yet, but that I am finally going to seek out some... I've seen a therapist before. She just wasn't very good. So hopefully this one will be better.
I think that's a very good one, and I will also add on to it that I am extremely proud of you, Peanut, for taking the steps to do it. I know it's not easy, and I know that there's been struggles for you through all of it, but I could not be prouder of you for taking those steps. So extra.
Thank you.
Ditto.
That was fucking fantastic. Just moves the mic in. A ditto for me, thank you.
I'll take ditto on aisle 4.
Ditto for 400, Alex. Thank you. What is I'm proud of my friend?
Yes, I am very proud of you too, Peanut.
Mm.
Thank you.
I'm happy that you've taken that initial step towards healing your soul. Because
mm-hmm.
I think once you start that, your perspective on life is going to change immensely.
Mm-hmm.
It did for me. It did for me, and I think it will for you.
Yes, I hope agreed.
So, but I still got to live above those two.
It's one step at a time.
Therapy is going to help you deal with that.
That is what therapy is for. Okay, and then actually I'm going to, weirdly enough, kind of echo the same thing as what Dana said for being that she loves about herself. What I love about myself is that this week I actually had a conversation with a friend and talking about how when you share stuff with friends and you completely open yourself up to it, whether it's a friend or a romantic relationship, and you give them all that ammunition that could be your downfall, but you trust them. So you hand it over and you're like, okay, here's some of like my deepest, darkest secrets. Here's stuff that nobody knows about me but you. And your hope is that they never use it against you. And there's been situations where I've gone through that and it's been used against me at the end of things, like whether it's come out as a friendship that's come to an end and they're like, yeah, well, you know what? Here's this litany of things. And I'm like, so you literally just went and took everything that I've told you as being my best friend or being my my girlfriend, anything like that, where it's like, and you're going to now throw it all back in my face.
Yeah.
And I am grateful and love about myself that I don't do that to people. Because to me, like, I know how it's made me feel, and I don't want that to be ever reciprocated back onto someone, because I know that it causes trust issues further on down the line, where it's like, okay, well, now I don't want to trust other people with these things, this sensitive information, where it's like, okay, yeah, I'll give them, like, here's the information that I'll tell anyone, but I'm going to keep this little tidbit back, just because I don't want it to come back and stab me in the face.
Right.
So I find And I seem to find, I don't know why, but I always seem to find the people and try, or not try, but I do befriend the people who have those trust issues. And it's one of the first things that I'll tell them. It's like, hey, just so you know, I promise I won't throw any of this back in your face. Like, even if the friendship goes sideways, you can say whatever you're going to say about me. Throw whatever you're going to throw at me. That's fine. That's you to deal with. That's your burden to bear. I'm not going to go down that road because I know how it feels. And I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, yeah, well, you know how you told me your biggest fear is that people are going to say horrible things about you. I don't even have a good example. That's how bad at this I am. Then I'm not going to use that against you at any point in time. Like, I'll probably try and help you work through it, but I'm not going to be the one to turn around and be like, oh yeah, you know how you said that you had your biggest fear is that you're going to turn out like your father? Bah, you are. Like, no, I'm not going to throw that back at you because that's not okay. And I wish that more people were like that or like us for that.
Yeah.
So that is
very good. I can ditto that one too.
And I think that
ditto goes, for 600.
I think that goes perfectly with our topic because mm-hmm. when you do get in a relationship or a marriage, what are you doing? You are trusting that person with all of your heart and your information
yep.
and your secrets, and they definitely have that ammunition to destroy yep. you.
Yep, you willfully hand it over, and then you just hope and pray that it doesn't come back to bite you in the ass. And then,
exactly.
I would say a fair bit of the time it does, and then you have regrets about where you're like, I shouldn't have said that, but you can't live your life that way. You have to try and move forward and be like, it's okay, the next one won't do this, so I'm just going to hold on to it a little bit tighter. But then you're like, okay, you can have that tidbit, but so help me God if it comes back.
Like so, Hagrid in Harry Potter.
Yes. I should not have said that. I should not have said that, definitely. And for next week's episode, it is going to be about social situations and anxiety/depression. So like going out to parties, small gatherings, having people to your place versus theirs. Which do you prefer?
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we thank you all for listening. Tell your friends, tell your family, spread the news. We love listeners, and we even love people that send us email and tell mm-hmm. us their stories.
Yes.
And if our next topic is something that you can relate to, by all means, reach out. We'd love to have you as a guest on the show.
And just to add to that, because I've read our email, and I don't know if you guys have or not. My friend who did send us the email, I do have that episode coming up, and I will be talking to you about when you're able to come on to the episode, I promise.
Okay. So thank you, everyone, and have a great week.
Ciao.
Bye.